It's a pivotal week for American politics. People in Georgia will be voting in two U.S. Senate races that will determine which party controls the chamber over the next 2 years. Joe Biden is also set to hit another milestone on the way to Inauguration Day, but a growing number of Republicans say they'll object to certain states' electoral college votes. Among them, Wisconsin Senator Ron Johnson. He defended his position yesterday on NBC's Meet the Press.
Let's take a look at a bipartisan commission to organize all the allegations. Certainly what I did in my hearing. It was a 3.5-hour hearing. We barely scratched the surface, but organize the allegations. Let's take off the table the ones that have been explained, but also acknowledge the problem areas that have not been explained so that we can restore confidence in our election system. This is an unsustainable state of affairs right now.
The GOP challenge to the Electoral College is expected to fail. Meanwhile, Democrats are accusing President Trump of abusing his power after he pressed Georgia's Secretary of State to overturn the state's presidential election result. And the new Congress was sworn in last night with Nancy Pelosi narrowly winning a fourth term as House Speaker. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Are you watching closely these Senate races in Georgia? What are you thinking? What are you feeling about them? What do you want to see as the result? Do you support the effort from Republicans, including Ron Johnson, to contest the results of the Electoral College? Do you worry that it's going to cause significant harm to democracy? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email ideas@WPR.org. Andra Gillespie is an associate professor of political science at Emory University in Atlanta. Andra, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Let's start in your backyard. A lot going on in Georgia with these Senate races. First of all, two runoffs here in the state. Now, people might be thinking, wait, we just do one Senate race at a time. How do we end up with two in Georgia right now?
Georgia had its regularly scheduled Senate race in the 2020 cycle. And then because we had a senator retire early because of health problems, his seat was up for a special election. So his replacement had been appointed, but she had to stand for election in a special election. And under Georgia law, if a candidate doesn't win an outright majority of the votes cast, then the top two vote getters move on to a runoff election. That happened, and so we ended up with two runoffs.
Watching from here in Wisconsin, it looks like you're getting a lot of attention down in Georgia. Can you just kind of set the scene for us, the hullabaloo, the early voting, and then leading up to the in-person voting tomorrow?
While the election campaign for you may have ended on November 3rd, it hasn't ended yet for us here in Georgia, and it won't end until tomorrow. So Georgia went into early voting on December 14th. That lasted through New Year's Eve. We have had campaign ads since the November election, and so that's not going to go away until tomorrow either. And in between that, people have gotten phone calls, visits to their house, lots of mailers. There's just been a ton of activity. It may as well be the last week of October for us.
Now, for my expert reading of the polling and early voting numbers and things like that, Andra, I have no idea what's going to come out of tomorrow. Do I have it about right? Like, it's really hard to predict.
The race is statistically too close to call. The polls are too close. And turnout has been record-breaking so far. So to just put this into perspective, 5 million people cast ballots in the presidential election in November. And the last time there was a Senate runoff election was in 2008, and there about 2 million people voted in that runoff election. As of New Year's Eve, 3 million people had already cast their ballots in the Senate runoff election, and so we could easily top 4 million by tomorrow. We'll see, but we'll be somewhere in that vicinity, we think. So it's going to be close, and whoever wins is probably going to win by a pretty narrow margin.
Talking to Andra Gillespie from Emory University in Atlanta, looking at some of the big stories in national politics, many of them Georgia-centric right now. You can join in at 800-642-1234 with your thoughts and questions about the Senate race there and about this Wednesday's vote in Congress, this usual formality to confirm the vote of the Electoral College, 800-642-1234. Let's stay for the moment in Georgia. Andra, on Saturday, President Trump made a call to your Secretary of State there, Brad Raffensperger, urging him to, in effect, overturn Joe Biden's victory in the state. The Secretary of State's office recorded that conversation, released it, they said, after the president had made false claims about what happened in that conversation. Here is a listen to some of what the president had to say here.
Well, under law, you're not allowed to give faulty election results, okay? You're not allowed to do that, and that's what you've done. This is a faulty election result. And honestly, this should go very fast. You should meet tomorrow because you have a big election coming up. And because of what you've done to the president, you know, the people of Georgia know that this was a scam. And because of what you've done to the president, a lot of people aren't going out to vote. And a lot of Republicans are going to vote negative because they hate what you did to the president. Okay? They hate it. And they're going to vote. And if you would be respected, if really respected, if this thing could be straightened out before the election. You have a big election coming up on Tuesday.
Andra, what's your read on this phone call? It's getting a lot of attention.
Well, I mean, it is scandalous, but it's not terribly surprising. No candidate should be calling up an elections official and telling them to go find votes to help them win an election. Candidate should be calling up an elections official and making what could arguably be thinly veiled threats. But at the same time, President Trump has actually been doing it pretty publicly since the end of the November election. And so, you know, in your state, you've experienced it as well. And so he's lobbied legislators. He has, tried to berate elections officials. And so he's done this pretty repeatedly. It's just that seemed to be very, very pointed. And also just the fact that we're getting so close to Inauguration Day and that this is still happening. I think that that probably is what stands out. But at the end of the day, he's been doing this, for a long period of time, and he's still looking for that in where he might be able to, be able to find some type of grounds to be able to reverse the election results that have already, cast in the Electoral College and that are going to be certified on Wednesday, even with the planned Republican protest.
Let's go to our callers now and turning to the topic of expected challenges in Congress as they go through the, again, usual formality of accepting the Electoral College outcome. Let's start with Rick in Rhinelander. Rick, hi.
Yes, hello. Yes, I'd like to make a comment. You played that clip from Chuck Todd's interview. I'd like to point out that Chuck Todd mentioned that the reason that the electorate had concerns was because people like Senator Johnson continued to repeat the fiction put forth by the president that there were some irregularities. Over 60 cases have been tried in our court system, including in front of Trump appointee judges, that have found no evidence of widespread voter fraud. And the reason is there is no evidence. So instead, what people like Senator Johnson do is argue this in the court of public opinion. And I'd like to point out that in a conversation with a former Green County Republican chairman, Senator Johnson acknowledged to that individual that he knew Biden was a legitimate president-elect and that simply it would be political suicide for him to go against the president's wishes to continue this charade.
Rick, thanks a lot for the call. Senator Johnson has challenged that presentation of the conversation, but the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel reshared quotes from the senator apparently saying he was not going to challenge the election this week. He has since changed his mind. Andra, a lot of Republicans in the House and Senate saying they're going to challenge states like Wisconsin and others and their electoral college slates. What comes out of that?
I think it's a lot of symbolic politics. They know that the votes don't exist in the House and in the Senate to change the certification of the Electoral College results. And so this is going to be the final sort of step in the official process of moving Joe Biden towards the inauguration on January 20th. But Donald Trump is still going to be the titular head of the Republican Party even after Joe Biden is sworn in as President of the United States. And his endorsement carries a lot of sway. And what people don't want is him getting on Twitter and, calling for a primary challenge against Republican candidates. So what it's going to take in order to stop that is a critical mass of Republican members of Congress and governors who will stand up to President Trump and say, you know what, even if you do endorse my opponent, even if you do push for a primary challenge, I'm still going to oppose you when I feel that it's the right thing to do. Senator Johnson and others need to remember that they will still be employed by the American people on January 21st, and Donald Trump will not.
Thanks for the call, Rick. We're talking about the latest on congressional and presidential politics with Andra Gillespie, Associate Professor of Political Science at Emory University in Atlanta. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What do you want to see come out of the U.S. Senate races in Georgia? Are you watching them closely? What do you think about the plan by some Republicans in the House and Senate to challenge the Electoral College certification? What do you think of President Trump's call to Georgia's Secretary of State, asking him to find the votes to overturn Joe Biden's win in the state? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're talking about the drama in Georgia and Washington, D.C. Two Senate races in Georgia, President Trump's phone call to Georgia's Secretary of State, and the push by some Republicans, including Wisconsin Senator Ron Johnson, to challenge the certification of the Electoral College. Andra Gillespie with us, Associate Professor of Political Science at Emory University. And you are with us at 800-642-1234. Let's go back to our callers now. Willem is with us in Colfax. Willem, hello.
Hello. I'm 70 years old, almost 70 years old, and I've never witnessed anything like this in our country where the President of the United States, without, you know, it's said that the United States is a country of laws, not men, and the rule of law requires evidence. And if you can't come up with the evidence, you can't just go accusing, you know, the foundation of our democracy as being corrupt without any evidence. If that's not an impeachable offense or a high crime, then what is? And our Senator Ron Johnson, I think we haven't had a senator like Ron Johnson since Joe McCarthy, someone who is willing to perpetuate a pure and unproven fiction and almost bring down our government. He said that with Chuck Todd that there were tens of thousands of people who were upset about the election. That's the way it is in a democracy. We have winners and losers. I've been upset about elections, but it doesn't mean that the election was a fraud. It means that my candidate didn't win.
Willem, thanks a lot for the call. Andra, Willem bringing up a point that others share, worried that these challenges to the election, accusations without evidence of widespread fraud, might damage the system in the short and long run. Do you have that concern?
I share the concern. What we're concerned about is the precedent and the optics. And also, you know, I think what, you know, people are concerned about is the vacuum of leadership. So, you know, clearly we are in an era now where facts are contingent, but they don't have to be contingent. And it's up to leaders, and we look to our elected leaders to sort of fill this role, that if people are going to peddle in misinformation, if constituents are going to sort of insist on things that are wrong, that people who are better informed and in a position to know better should stand up, even if it costs them votes, and say, you know, the facts that you have at your disposal are not actually facts and not true. And let me explain to you, you know, what's wrong here. And you don't have to agree with me at the end about the outcome of what we should do next, but here are the common basis of facts. And we don't see elected leaders stepping up and taking that particular role. So, you know, the only thing that I could, you know, tell your listeners to do if they're concerned about this is to register those concerns with the elected officials that they think are not actually taking their leadership position. And if those elected officials aren't responsive to that, then, you know, it may be time to consider other people for those positions.
Thanks for the call. We'll go to Jack now in Eau Claire. Jack, hi.
Hi. I wonder if your guest read the article by Chris Truax in USA Today yesterday.
What was it? Can you sum it up for us, Jack? We just have a few minutes left.
The title was basically something like, you know, Trump's shenanigans show the weaknesses in our electoral system. Anyhow, it's an excellent article, and it basically says it's given a blueprint to somebody else in the future that wants to pull this. If Trump had had both houses of Congress, who knows what would be happening now.
Jack, thanks a lot for the call. I've seen similar arguments, haven't read that one myself, Andra, saying that, hey, maybe this is time to take out some of the gray areas in the process between Election Day and Inauguration Day, and worries that Jack brought up that in a slightly different situation, you know, things could go a different way and election could be overturned. Do we need to revisit some of our rules here?
I think that there's lots that we need to revisit. No, I haven't read the article that your listener brought up, but it's funny. If you go back and you read Trump's The Art of the Deal, he tells the story about how he got the variances in order to build Trump Tower as big as he did. And one of the things that he kind of brags about was that because he used every loophole he possibly could to make that building as big as possible, New York City actually had to go back and change its zoning laws after the fact. And so love him or hate him, Donald Trump has exposed weaknesses that it's now our responsibility to shore up.
Thanks for that call. In our last minute or so, Andra, what are you watching for on Wednesday as this, again, usual formality comes before Congress to approve the Electoral College?
So, the biggest thing that I'm paying attention to tomorrow, in Georgia, is what Election Day turnout is going to look like. We suspect that more Democrats than Republicans turned out to vote in the early voting period and cast absentee ballots. So if we have a really strong turnout tomorrow, that could even the race up, and then it's just going to be a question of who wins. I don't know who's going to win, but it's going to be a close election.
Andra, thanks a lot for joining us again today.
Thank you.
Andra Gillespie is an associate professor of political science at Emory University in Atlanta. We talked with her about the Georgia U.S. Senate races, the Republican push to challenge the Electoral College certification, and other big issues in national politics.